The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today, I'll be answering your non-Disney questions. That's coming up on this episode 118 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 118. It's been a while. Took some time off from podcasting. As I often do in December, I like to scale back a little bit on work because it's a time to focus on family events and there's lots of cooking and shopping and that kind of stuff to do. And it makes me feel fantastic in December to get to do that and just sort of take a break. And then as soon as Christmas is over, I am ready to get back to work. So that's what we are doing now. I'm on the tail end of a cold, and so you may notice a bit of a change in my voice, but I am feeling tons better, thanks in huge part to a medicine that somebody told me about, and I'm just going to pass this tip around because it was so helpful. It is, and maybe you guys already know this, but it's Mucinex Fast Max medicine. I've never felt like there was any medicine that really helped when I had a cold until this, and as soon as I took it, I felt like I could function and actually attend Christmas events and travel 10 or 11 hours to my parents' house in Gulf Shores, Alabama. Anyway, so that was a huge deal. But as always, it takes a little while for the effects to wear off. And so my voice is sort of gradually coming back. So this is a special episode where I'm going to answer some questions that were emailed or called in, which are non-Disney related. And I have told you before that this is an idea that I got from Aisha Tyler, who does this at the end of the year on her podcast, and I thought it'd be a great place to just sort of gather all those questions. And then next week, we'll resume weekly podcasts about Disney stuff, and there'll be plenty of things to talk about, so I'm looking forward to diving back into that. And then after I answer some questions today, I will give you a little preview about what's to come in 2016 for my business, and I'm just super excited. I think it's going to be a huge year. So let's start with some of the questions that were called in on the Speak Pipeline, and we will begin first with Rachel.
Hi, Shannon. This is Rachel from Alabama, and I was wondering what you did before you ran the website. And how did that job and the things you learned in that career and the skills you built help you be successful in running this new business that you have? Thank you. I enjoy your show very much.
Good question, Rachel. And I will start by saying that I did episode 38, which might in part answer this question. In May 2014, it was the 2-year anniversary of the website. And so I did a podcast episode that sort of explained my background and how I came to start the website. But I will give an answer to your question again here as well, more specifically. And so basically, I had wanted to start a Disney website for 10 years before I did. And I'm sort of glad that I waited for a variety of reasons. But one of them is I was able to get a lot more experience that has been very helpful. So my degree is in computer information systems, which basically is the combination of computer programming and business. So already we're off to a good start because I have to know a lot about those things for running a website. But in addition to that, I was a technical project manager and I worked at an advertising agency. So there's a lot of technical skills, business skills, creative skills, that kind of stuff that were important in how to handle clients and manage projects. But one skill that I also learned, especially when I worked at the ad agency, was about working a lot of hours. And nothing prepared me more for this job than the ad agency job, where I would sometimes work 20 hours a day. But I definitely work 7 days a week. I one time worked for 6 weeks without a day off. And so that was actually very helpful in terms of just knowing how to deal with a lot of work, but about projects that you're passionate about. I mean, that's why I was willing to put up with it then, because I love the clients that we had and the projects that we had. And the same is true here. Now, I don't work as crazy hours now as I used to, because thanks in huge part to the fact that I have Heather to help me. But that certainly was a big help. I do think all the skills have sort of come together in this kind of nice storm. I feel so lucky that I get to wake up every day and do all the things I love, business and programming and designing and social media. I just love it all. And they have all at times been parts of my job. So that's been really helpful. So I hope that answers your question, Rachel, but you can also listen to episode 38, which might give a slightly different perspective on that. Next up, we have a question from Erica, who is a new travel agent.
Hi, Shannon. My name is Erica Barthel. I'm from Newburgh, Indiana. I became a travel agent specializing in Disney destinations a few months ago. I was wondering, what is the best way to advertise my business?
So, Erica, that's a really good question. It's actually something that I get emailed a lot, because a lot of people know that I have a relationship with an agency and they wonder, you know, how did that come about? But there's other things, other ways to do it besides having relationships with websites like mine. So let's start with that one though first. So, relationships with websites can be very advantageous for everybody involved. It certainly is for me and for Key to the World, who I work with. And I don't exactly know how to tell you a secret to creating that kind of relationship, because it's just a very sort of organic thing. For instance, in my case, I was looking for someone with a business background. I didn't want to work with a TA who was doing it part-time and who didn't have growth as part of their plan. And in my case, I started working with Cheryl. She was the travel agent that worked for, that handled all the clients that came through the site, but we definitely had a growth plan. And so we have now an entire team that has been picked to handle all the quotes, and she's now a co-owner of an agency. So for me, it was just about matching sort of goals and similar spirits. You know, Cheryl and I not only have business backgrounds, but we really, you know, we cry at fireworks, and, you know, we sort of have a similar kindred spirit when it comes to Disney World stuff. So if you want to work with a website, I just think it's great to sort of form a partnership and find somebody that's like-minded. Other options that you have, one is social media. You can create followings if you are very useful to people. And I have to stress, not selling all the time. It's social media. It's not sell stuff to people media. If you are helpful and you can gain a following, then occasionally you can offer services and just say, hey, by the way, I do, you know, book trips if you want to. One example of this that I think is kind of interesting is there's a lady named Linda who has a Pinterest account with over 50,000 followers. And Linda doesn't have a website or anything to sell. She just is helpful, and that has been the reason for her growth. But if she was a travel agent, imagine, you know, every once in a while she could put out a pin on Pinterest that says, by the way, you can book trips through me. And if people have come to trust her and see her as a valuable source for travel knowledge, then maybe they would book those trips for her. So you can be helpful, build a following, and then sell to those people. That is one way. Another is that you can create a website. You know, a lot of people that are sort of, you know, in my competition are actually travel agents or agencies, because they have used content marketing, which is what blogs are considered as content marketing, to build their own following. So if I was a TA, then, you know, I have plenty of clients that I could sell to and say, now that you have found my information useful, I can book it. So, Erica, you could also create your own website if you like and build a bit of a following on your own. So social media, partnering with websites, building your own websites. And one thing I didn't mention when it comes to social media is advertising. That's sort of a newer area that you might want to explore, especially with Facebook ads, because Facebook ads allow you to target to very specific demographics. You know, Facebook knows everything about us. And so it could be, you know, an interesting experiment to advertise to, like, for instance, if you want to target people with young children who like to travel, that kind of stuff, then you could show an ad to them to encourage them to book with you. So anyway, those are a few different options. I hope that gives you some ideas. The next two questions are kind of similar, so I'm going to play them back to back, and then hopefully I can answer them both at the same time. This is Emily and Sarah.
Hi, Shannon. This is Emily from Iowa. I think you're fabulous. How did you make your website into a business? I have a specific idea for a similar blog/resource website on a completely different topic. Do you have any tips on how to make it into a successful business? Thank you. I love everything that you do.
Hi, Shannon. My name is Sarah. I'm calling from Colorado. I've been listening to your podcast for several months now and completely binge listened to everything. It's been a huge help. It was a huge help in planning my Disney World trip. And then I've been listening to it even since I've been home, trying to plan ahead for whenever the next time is that I go. So my question is kind of Disney related. I wanted to ask you about how you sort of fell into making your love for Disney World and for planning Disney World trips into a career. I used to actually plan tours for school groups, not for Disney, but I've always absolutely loved Disney. I've been to Disneyland countless times. I've been to Disney World a handful of times now, and I just fell in love with the planning process. I think that was honestly my favorite part, almost as good as the trip itself. And so I just wondered if you had any advice for anybody else who might be interested in looking into planning trips for people as a job, even if it's not necessarily your main source of income. Thanks so much for your answer. Have a great end of the year and happy holidays. Bye.
So I appreciate those questions from Emily and Sarah. So the basic question that they both asked is how to turn a site into a business or your passion into a business. And the answer to that, first of all, is that it's not a business at first. When I started the website in 2012, it was May 2012, I lost money the first year. And that's because there are expenses related to hosting and email marketing software. And I paid for all my own giveaways and, you know, all the software I needed, all that kind of stuff. So it was a money losing prospect for the first year. The second year, I broke even. You know, I did make some money because there were a couple advertisers here and there or whatever. But not a lot. I still had expenses. And so that I broke even. So third year is when I started to make some money and it started to feel more like a business. So the answer to that question is, it's a long-term plan. If you want to turn a website into a business, it's way down the road. You have to be a crazy person to do it, almost, because it is such a sacrifice of time and money. But it was something I wanted to do, and it has worked out, thank goodness. But so that's what I would say. But in terms of getting attention for your business and stuff like that, you have to stand out. There is no reason to create a website that looks like everybody else's. You sort of have to do your own thing. My thing is that I spend a ridiculous amount of time that nobody else would ever spend to put together posts. So my thing is depth. And, you know, I love data and I love design and I love depth in posts. And so that's sort of my thing that makes me stand out compared to, you know, there are different Disney World news sites that just crank out, you know, 5 blog posts a day about random tidbits. That's a different sort of goal and business plan than what I have. I just focus on occasional posts, but they have to be data, design, or depth focused for me. So get attention in whatever way is unique to you and make it a very, very long-term plan if you want to turn it into a business. Sarah also asked about how to specifically do something that helps plan trips. And I think there's a couple things to think about here. So you'll notice that I am not a travel agent. And a lot of people, especially at the beginning, for some reason, I think they were unclear what I was up to. They asked me if I would plan their trips. And the reason I do not plan trips is that my satisfaction and my passion is teaching. I do not like doing things for people, but travel agents do. You know, travel agents may not have a passion for teaching, but they really love to plan the trip. So I think you have to sort of focus on what your passion is and then explore ways to do that. So if it happens to be teaching, then maybe you do something similar to what I've done. But if you want to work one-on-one with people and plan their trips, then maybe you could be a travel planner with a Disney agency. So a couple different ways to go about that, Sarah. So I hope that is helpful. And then I got an email from Monica that says, my question for your end of year show is, how did you spark interest in your website and podcast in order to get advertisers interested and begin to make some revenue? Thank you in advance for information and continued success. So thank you for that, Monica. Okay, so I mentioned to you that I lost money the first year. There was no interest in the first year. The numbers were just too small, and there was no reason for anybody to want to advertise with me. So it's pure numbers. You know, if people think you have an audience, then they will be interested in advertising with you. And so you have to be able to build that audience. I am going to answer a question that I'm going to piggyback onto this because I get asked it a lot. And that is, how do I make money? Or how do people that run websites make money? And, you know, people that know me in real life, but aren't necessarily into Disney, they will often say, what do you do? And I say, I run a website about Disney World. And they say, oh, Disney pays you to do that. And I say, no, it's my own business. And they have no idea how that could possibly be a real job. So I'm going to explain to you the main three ways that I make money and most people that run websites. The first is revenue, which is what Monica was asking about. I mean, advertising revenue. So there are different advertisements. They can be from companies that sell related products or, also Google ads. And Google has an entire advertising system where, you know, different companies can go on there. Disney's one of them that does this and say, I want to advertise to websites that have related content. And as website owners, what we do is we embed Google code into our websites, and whatever Google thinks is a good fit for us will show up in the advertising for those websites. And so we have Google ads, and then we also have direct advertisers that contact us personally. And so that's, and when I say we, I'm sort of thinking of Casey that runs the DLR Prep School site, because we both are always discussing this. So we have direct advertisers and Google ads. That's one stream of revenue. Another is affiliate commission. So if we recommend a company and people purchase products through us, then we can get a percentage of that. One of the affiliates that we use the links is Amazon. So if we mention a product and we put an Amazon link, then Amazon gives us a percentage of that. We never ever post links just to get revenue. But if we're going to be linking off to Amazon and you're going to be buying it, then we figure we might as well get a small percentage of that for the effort it took to put together the post. So affiliate sales are another. And the third way that I make money is through my ebook. And that has been for sale for a couple of years. And that's just a zip file with lots of PDFs in it that people can purchase. And I recommend the ebook to people who are overwhelmed and don't know where to start, because it gives you a great sort of base. And then from there, you can branch off and learn more. But that is a good segue into what to expect from me and through the company in 2016. So let's talk about that before we wrap it up today. So I mentioned the company. And so as we are here listening and recording this podcast, I have a lawyer that has been working on incorporating my business. And so the business, after it's incorporated, will be called Prep School Productions, Inc. And so that paperwork is in the final stages, and that will be in effect for 2016. Very excited about that. So you might be wondering, what's the point of that? The point is that there are lots of good tax reasons and other financial reasons to set it up that way. I will actually be the first full-time employee of the company, and then hopefully we will be adding more later. But under the Prep School Productions, Inc. umbrella is my website, the DLR Prep School site. And coming in 2016 will be the Disney Cruise Line site, DCL Prep School, which I hope to launch the first half of 2016. But the person who runs that will be a contractor under the corporation. So I don't have any details on that website yet. I am not taking applications, but as soon as I'm ready for that, I will be sure to let you know. Also, I have mentioned before that I have a big project that I've been working on. And it is not the DCL Prep School site. Some people did think that. But it is something I've been working on for a very long time. And to give you a bit of a timeline, I started my website in May 2012. I quit my corporate job a year later in around June 2013. In July 2013, I wrote and launched the ebook. August 2013, launched this podcast. September 2013, I didn't waste any time in 2013. September 2013, I created the monthly dashboards that are on the site. Between October 2013 and January 2014, I worked with Casey to launch the Disneyland site, the DLR Prep School site. And ever since then, I have been working on this big project. So almost 2 years. The first part of that time was in planning, and then we've actually been working in earnest ever since then. So I can't wait to tell you about it. I know it's annoying to be teased and to not have many details, but it's also really strange on my end to have most of my time spent on something that I cannot really talk about. So I've been dying to tell you about it, and so that is going to happen hopefully in January. So I am looking very, very forward to that. So I think that's going to wrap up episode 118, and we'll be back next week with a regular episode, including news and quick tip of the day and all the stuff that you are familiar with. So we will be back on track very soon. I hope that you had a great Christmas, and I hope that you have a great new year, and I will talk to you in 2016. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.